It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be here at Central Chapel. Pastor was right. You've been supporting us and praying for us as your missionaries. It's actually 47 years. I hate to say it. 47 years, I believe. 46, 47. I'll get it corrected here after the service. Carolyn keeps me straight on my dates and my times. But such a pleasure to be here to really thank you. I mean, we send prayer letters and prayer news and prayer requests, but nothing better than standing here and looking at all your smiling faces and to say thank you. You know, little Ava down here this morning. Where did Ava go? They all left. All those sweet ones there. She said, thank you, missionary. She draw a picture of my beautiful wife there. Carolyn, why don't you stand up there? Let them see if that looks like you. There you go. There you are. There she is. Well, we want to say thank you. Thank you to Ava, but that's really nice. Thank you, missionary. Personal note there this morning. Bless their hearts. Well, listen, we have a lot to accomplish here this morning. We want to, there's so many new faces. It's great to see the familiar faces, so many of you, but who are the visitors here today? If I just may ask real quick, are there visitors? Somebody said there was visitors here. Anybody? Okay, well, that's good. I was just going to tell them to make sure to come back next Sunday and the Sunday after that. This is not the normal sort of thing here today, and you'll see that very quickly. I'm very PowerPoint-based, and we're going to be looking here. Carolyn and I, we just consider ourselves as part of the overseas staff, if we may say that, of Central Chapel. We're just part of the extended arm of this great ministry, just as all your missionary family are. We're just extending the ministry of what you're doing here in Back Creek Valley, you know, is that what it's called down here? That's what it is, Shanghai or something. We're just extending your ministry to other places in the world. And Carol and I have had a special privilege of being associated with you as a church. And you think of New Tribes Mission and that visual that we just saw there. I like to start with that. That sort of gets people's attention. Praise the Lord for what he's doing through all the mission boards of the world that are getting the gospel out. But we have the privilege of being part of New Tribes Mission. And you often think, oh, well, that's in a tribe like you saw there in those pictures. But we are actually involved in the European training and mobilization team. In other words, we're trying to mobilize and train and get missionaries from Europe, even a missionary area of the world itself, get people from Europe, from the churches there, to go out and reach unreached people groups. First of all, I'll tell you about the family. They're, you know, 47 years ago, we came in here with maybe just one little baby. But over the years, we had all the five Cunninghams running around. And that's the purpose of this trip. We're only really here for 9 weeks, and we leave tomorrow to go back. So we've been here. In December, we were visiting our family. We started up in New Hampshire with our only daughter. We have four sons and a daughter. And we started up there with Sonia, and then we moved to, well, we were in the snow up there. And then we went down to Florida on the boat with our son there. On a lake in Florida, and his six boys there, and then out to California, and then back to Georgia for Christmas. And then we spent the month of January just getting around to some of the churches, and so it's really great to have been able to visit all these places. Want to also thank you for your prayers for our son Tim, who has a different address. He's in heaven, seeing the glory of the Lord. He used to sign his emails this way, delighting in Christ, and he did in life, in serving him, and he's certainly delighting in the Lord Jesus today and in his glory, seeing his glory there. Thank you for your prayers for him over the years in some of his difficult times, but we're just thankful that we know where he is and what he's doing, praising the Lord today. Well, we started out as your missionaries, not with New Tribes, but with a different mission, Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And we served for 10 years as your missionaries in Austria, church planting, evangelism, had a printing ministry there. Then we moved to England, too long a story for all these things, moved to England in 83. We were there for 3 years also in evangelism, church planting, and disciple making there, and then to Scotland. This is all ancient history. I'm sorry. This is terrible. Some of the young folks are already tuned out. This is no longer in their day and age here. But 94, we're still not there, are we? But in 87 to 94, we got involved in this wonderful place there in the center city of Edinburgh, Scotland, right on the Royal Mile. It was called Carruthers Christian Center. It started out as Carruthers Close Mission. D.L. Moody, the evangelist D.L. Moody, had something to do with this place back in the 1880s. He helped to actually build that building there. They had started in 1858, but he came along, and that place has been a blessing. They asked us to be their missionary partners. They have a 750-seat auditorium in those days in that big building there, five stories. There's one underground. And when we arrived in 87, only 40 people worshiping in that big auditorium, balcony like this around three sides. And we just praise the Lord for being able to join a Welsh pastor there, and then later a dynamic youth worker that came. And we just taught that each one, reach one, each one, teach one principle. And over 4 years, from 87 to 91, we grew to 200 people. 200. It was amazing just to see what God was doing there. And we can't put our finger on anything other than maybe just fiery Welsh preaching, okay, from Wales, our preacher, but also this each one, reach one, each one, teach one principle that was backed up by this youth worker that really caused the students to reach out. And half of those 200 in 1991 were university students. And we were burdened to see them. We were getting involved in street evangelism and missionary work there among the four universities in Edinburgh. But we invited New Tribes missionaries there to challenge our youth group, okay? And as I said, out of the 200 congregation, nearly 100 of them were young people. That was so exciting, such an exciting time. And we actually invited New Tribes missionaries to come, and they showed us these videos, you know, from New Tribes, some of the older ones. That was way back then. And we were so challenged. But Carol and I were praying, here we are, Lord, send these students to the unreached peoples. Here we are, send these students. And that's not what the scripture says, is it? Here am I, send me, send me. So we were praying sort of wrong there. But they were showing us videos of people who want to hear the gospel but can't, okay? And after these mission weekends that we would all organize for our students and for the church there, I'd go back out on the street there in front of that building with a team there trying to reach people who can hear the gospel but don't want to. You've got quite a few of those down here in this valley, don't you? But our heart was burdened for those that want to hear but can't because there's nobody to go. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There was another thing that really began to move in our hearts where Oswald J. Smith, the pastor of the People's Church of Toronto, Canada, tried to go to the mission field six or seven times, and the Lord put him right back in the pastorate, and the People's Church became one of the greatest missionary sending churches in all of history. He wrote in his book, The Challenge of Missions, why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once? And so that burdened our hearts. And then the scripture that the Lord really iced the cake with caused us to get an application after 23 years with another mission agency in a wonderful ministry there in Western Europe, in a wonderful ministry in the most beautiful city in the United Kingdom, Edinburgh, right down from the castle, up from the palace, right on the Royal Mile. I mean, what a ministry we had. We thank the Lord for it. But you know what? The Lord was saying, Tom, Carolyn, what are you doing next now? What are you doing? You know, not in our wildest dreams did we think we'd ever be joining New Tribes Mission. New Tribes Mission. Well, this is the verse that the Lord used. You know this story. The Lord Jesus dealing with the woman at the well. We use it in our Each One, Reach One teaching. It's really a primer on personal work, seeing the master at work there. But in the background of all that, the Lord Jesus was dealing with this lady, this woman at the well. The disciples went into town to buy food. They came back and offered to the Lord food. And he said, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. And Jesus said that. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To finish his work. That translated for us into New Tribes Mission. What a funny name, New Tribes Mission. It comes from the vision statement of the mission. 75 years old we are this year. 75 years ago, certain men gathered together, burdened to reach new tribes until the last tribe is reached. And that's how we ended up with New Tribes. They sent us for training. You know, I was a missionary. We were missionaries 23 years. And we thought, oh, New Tribes would say, oh, welcome, Cunninghams. No, you're going to train. You're going to retrain, Tom. This is a completely different ballgame. And it really is. It really is. This is unreached peoples. And we trained at Jersey Shore up there in north central Pennsylvania at their one of their boot camps and mission courses there. And but you know, during that training, look at this. Here I was 49 years of age, sitting in the classroom again. And some of the leadership there said, Tom and Carolyn, you got to really face up to it. You're a little bit too old to go to a new tribe. It's a wrong name, wrong mission name, huh? Too old to go to a new tribe. So they said, listen, we want to send you to Papua New Guinea to serve for a year to get your feet wet. But ultimately, we want you to go back to where you were and just reproduce yourself. You're into that. Each one reaching one, each one teaching one, spiritual reproduction. Trust the Lord to reproduce yourself. And in the Sunday school hour, I want to tell you a little bit more in detail of that. We want to get to the word here. But yeah, they sent us to Papua New Guinea. There's an interface program. We're only there, assigned to go there for a year, 13 months. Interface is a course there, hands-on, really on-site, right among the tribes, an intensive missions course that runs for 5 weeks there. And we were involved in not only teaching in that course, but also in discipling the staff, the student staff there. So we did come back. We came back to, they gave us an office right there in the building again in Edinburgh, and we've been able to travel, take short-term teams to the Philippines. And our ministry has simply been this, as your missionaries, to be challenging, equipping, and mobilizing folks to go to unreached people groups, just representing in Scottish churches the need and the burden of unreached peoples. And we're also involved in these seminars, the Each One Reach One thing, the Foundations course. I'll tell you a little bit more about in Sunday school, a little bit more details. But it's all about mobilizing laborers into the harvest. So I've got a seven-point outline here, and it's going to go, don't be daunted by that. It's really quick. I'm going to fill it all out in the Sunday school hour. There's a little bit of repetition there, but not much. I'm going to fill it all out. But here it is, our purpose as a mission, motivated by the love of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. New Tribes Mission exists. I'm so thankful that it exists to assist the ministry of Central Chapel and many other local churches around the world through mobilizing, equipping, coordinating missionaries to evangelize unreached people groups, but not just evangelize, but to translate the Word of God, to disciple people, and to really see a indigenous New Testament churches established that truly glorify God, that truly glorify God. To God be the glory. Great things he's been doing. I don't know if you noticed on the slide there, they figure now that we're reaching a brand new tribe. Now, that's not just reaching like evangelism. That's reaching planting a new church in a new tribe every 45 days. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? But that's only like 8 or 9 a year for a big organization like ours. So pray for us. Our priority is to take the gospel where it's never gone, to those that have never heard, to places, really, places that people may never hear in some of these places before the missionaries go, learn the language, translate the Word of God, teach them to read and write, and plant churches there. Young people who really don't know, didn't even know it was Christmas again. There are places like that. There are people groups like that. Didn't even know. The angel said what? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? Say it with me. All people. That's still not fulfilled. All people haven't heard. All people haven't heard. So we have certain principles. Real quick, we're going to do a little bit more about this in the Sunday school hour. We really insist that our missionaries learn the culture and the language of the people, the heart language of the people. We insist on that. We don't work through translators or interpreters. These many times are unwritten languages. They have to invent the alphabet, develop primers and all that sort of thing, and teach the people to read and write. So they can read the scriptures when we translate it. A pastor already mentioned it. We insist on teaching the Word of God, creation to Christ, chronologically. So very important to lay that firm foundation for the presentation of the gospel and then to further disciple. That's so important, creation to Christ. And then the ultimate goal, of course, is planting tribal churches, discipling believers into local churches and to translate the Word of God so that they, in turn, then can reach others also. We're moving right along in this outline. Now, to do all that, it takes a lot of preparation. And we're involved in that preparation. We have a training in 12 different countries around the world, and we're privileged to be able to teach part-time in our training program in Lincolnshire, England. That's for all of Europe. We have a Bible college there the first year, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 3 years, a Bible college course, then a cross-cultural communications course, and an applied linguistics course, and I teach Each One, Reach One there as a module. I teach, introduce the first-year students to Firm Foundations, Creation to Christ. It's a great place. It's mainly Europeans coming there from many different European countries. And it's just specialized training to equip and mobilize missionaries to reach unreached people groups. Let's see if this, we get the sound up there again. It's all about people as well, not just priorities and principles. We're all about people. Going to talk a little bit more about that in the Sunday school hour as well. I'd like to just introduce you very briefly here to Dave and Julie Ward. They are Australian, so you're going to hear a little bit of an accent here. If we can crank the sound up pretty good on this one for Julie to speak here. They work among the Palawano people in the Philippines, just to give you another little taste of what we're doing.
It's been really encouraging these first few weeks of teaching. Because you wonder, you know, you spend all these years in language and culture study, and you just wonder how people are going to respond when they start hearing God's word, if anybody's even going to come and want to listen. One of the old ladies, her name is Muluk, we were sitting on the porch the other day together, and she said to me, "Niece," she calls me niece, "you know," she said, "it's like we were asleep. We were eating, we were going to work in our fields, you know, planting our rice and harvesting and just living our lives day to day." She said, "but listening to God's word, it's so wonderful." And she said, "my liver is just full." She said, it just feels so good just listening to God's word. One of Dave's translation helpers, his name is Tecido, when they were going through the Ten Commandments with Moses and learning about sin, he just said to Dave, "oh boy, if I had all the rocks out of the river, all the heavy rocks and the big boulders and everything," he said, "and you put them all together and piled them up in a big pile," he said, "that would be like the weight of sin on me." And he said, "I can't wait to hear how God is going to, you know, deal with that and get rid of that sin." He said, I just can't tell you how thankful we are that you and Julie came to teach us God's word." He said, "we know you've left your family, you've left your home, you've left your country, and I just want you to know how thankful I am," he said, "because this message is just amazing." It's been a real hard slog to learn this language, but just such a joy to us to be part of what God is doing there. Dave was a drywall hanger. I was just a clerk who worked for the telephone company. You know, we're not highly educated people, but God, I can honestly say that God has enabled us to do what we do. And we know, you know, he's already changing lives. Even though we're only, you know, in the first lessons of the teaching, he's already impacting their lives and opening their hearts and their minds to the light.
Well, you might have heard Julie say there, if you were attentive there, she said, "it's such a joy to have a part." I like that video because that little clip, because they were older like we were, or we still are. We're getting older yet, but they are excited about what God's doing there, and God's going on to do a great work among the Palawano there with them. And this having a part leads us to the second of the last point here, partnership. Partnership. We need partners, those that would pray, those that would give and send other missionaries, and those that would go themselves on short-term trips and that sort of thing. It's really a team effort. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the Sunday school hour. Look at all the different skills that we need to support the missionaries in the bush. You often think of missionaries out there that are just doing the evangelism and the discipleship and the church planting. But in the bush, we need all that type of support, service teams that would service our missionaries. And the bottom line, of course, is that right there, that folks like yourself that would pray, and we're so grateful for that. Pray for churches, though, that are willing to support people that are going as government reps or guest house people. We want to get out there, we got a lot of young bucks that want to go reach a new tribe, but we need people to support them and to stand behind them on the field there to service them, teach their children, and to buy their groceries. In Austria, we never needed somebody to buy our groceries for us. We just went down to the shop and bought the groceries. But out in the bush, the wards, all of our missionaries, in the bush, they need somebody to do that for, take it to the pilot, have it flown in. It's a team effort. Well, the passion, finally, the passion. What is your passion here in Back Creek County? What is it, sports or farming or, I don't know what the passion is, cars maybe? We were chased by somebody there this morning. I don't think his passion was cars and everything. But you often think, what is God's passion? What is God's passion? We've been singing about it already this morning. Love that worship time. You ever think of what God's passion is? What is God's passion? You know, God's passion is clearly this. Clearly this. And we're going to truck right through this here this morning quickly. And we'll stop right on time, okay? If we're not finished, we'll pick it up in Sunday school. But it's to see that people, that you and I, first of all, see the glory. See his glory, okay? And to savor that glory, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And also to show forth that glory. That his glory would shine forth from our lives. And then to share that glory around the world, starting right here in our own Jerusalem. First of all, to see the glory. You know, this is where it's all going. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. That's where God's going. That's his passion. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. I will gather all nations, look at this, and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And we have the precious privilege, and your missionary family has a precious privilege of bringing this about, of declaring his glory among the nations. You know, what is God's passion? I believe as you read the word museums and you look at the old antiquities there, and they have them in these showcases, you know, showing the glories of Greece and Rome and all that. God is in the business, and his passion is to show forth his glory and to showcase his glory. That's what he's doing. And you know what? He's been doing that forever. He wants us to realize that he's an eternal God. He's an all-powerful God. We were singing about that this morning, weren't we? He's an all-knowing God. That'll change our lives if we realize how all-knowing he is and how loving and merciful. But he's righteous and holy. We got to realize that that's what he wants us to know about him. That's why he gave us the Word of God. You know, God didn't give us a theology book, a systematic topical study of doctrine. Aren't you glad? It's a storybook. And the firm foundations, isn't it? It tells God's story. It's wonderful. You know, if it was a theology book, we might as well just forget tribal missions. You ever think about that? They don't think in terms of doctrine and of concepts like we do in the West here. People in those tribes, they think in terms of story. That's all they've learned. They don't even have a written language. And so all that they learn is in terms of story. Well, God has given us his story. One book, one message, one story. And I like to call it, dear friends, as I teach the Firm Foundations, I believe it's the glory story. Because God is revealing through his word his glory. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, what you talk about the glory of God, we sing about the glory of God, but what is really the glory? What is the glory of God? It's the sum total of all that he is. There's lots of different theological definitions of it, but I like this one. It's the sum total, his very essence, his attributes, his character, all of his names. I couldn't get the names on that one PowerPoint there. There's not enough room. I like to get all that stuff. PowerPoint freak, I am. You saw that already. You realize that. But just so much about God that he reveals in his word. And each one of these things, the character, his attributes, are to give us a glimpse and display for us a facet of his infinite, awesome glory and majesty and splendor. Listen, dear friends, if you turn you open your Bible on a daily basis, I trust you have a quiet time and you're in the Word of God, and you open that book, you know, sometimes we're looking for something for us. Oh, Lord, bless me today and comfort me or whatever, and we're looking for that. But the way God wants to do that is to show you who he is. That'll bless us, our socks off. That will bless us. That will challenge us. That will bring holiness into our lives when we see a holy God. Oh, man. You know, it is the glory story. Welcome to the glory story. It's the glory of his words, the glory of his wonders, his glorious works, his glorious wisdom, his glorious ways, his will. That's what the Word of God is all about. We need to pray with Moses when we open this book. What did Moses pray? Please. He actually said, please, God, show me your glory. And when we see his glory, we'll never, ever remain the same. We'll never remain the same. It is the story of God. It's all about him. You know, he's an infinitely eternal God. He didn't have to create. You ever think about that? God didn't have to create this world. Why did he create? It was simply that very process of him just wanting to manifest and show forth his glory. That's why he gave us his word. That's why he created. The heavens declare the glory of God. And why did he create the angels? They were to worship him. All the host of heaven there, you see, are to worship God. And then we know what happened. Lucifer, the greatest of angels, what did he do? He tried to steal the glory of God. He kept saying, I will do this and I will do that. I will become like the Most High. That's where sin came. Sin into the universe, into history. Sin. S-I-N. What's the center letter of the word sin? Ah, the big eye. Everybody's got an eye problem, someone once said. Not this kind of eye. The big eye problem. Look at it. Human nature. The sin nature. The big eye. That's what all our problems are, the big eye. What's the center letter of the word pride? Oh, isn't it interesting? Can't do this in German when I go over there. But center letter of the word pride, the big eye. The big eye. Oh, we see it too often, many, even in our churches, don't we? The big eye. That big eye, dear friends, has to come to the cross and be crucified. That sinful, prideful nature. Wanting what I want, when I want it, where I want it, when I want it. Oh, dear. The Lord says, hey, the Lord says to Lucifer, I am the Lord. That is my name and my glory. I'm not going to give to anyone. Lucifer tried to steal the glory of God. Why did he create the earth? He created the earth to show forth his glory, to declare himself as an eternally wise and powerful creator God, magnifying his glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And the psalmist, the burden of the psalmist is this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Glorify the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Why did he create the earth? He created it to reveal, unveil, show forth his glory. Why did he create you and I? Why are we here? Why are we here? Scripture tells us very early on in these chronological lessons in his word, we were created in the image and likeness of God. Dear friends, may I say that I honestly believe these pictures in children's books that show Adam and Eve, they're sort of just little normal-looking human beings, their nakedness covered by these branches and everything, is not very biblical. I believe that Adam and Eve were dressed, were clothed with the glory and the radiance of God. They were special. I mean, they couldn't be anything else but special. And when they sinned, when Lucifer, the serpent then, the devil, tempted them with the big eye, poof, the lights went out. The lights went out. The glory was lost. The glory was lost. No, we were created to be reflectors of his image and likeness, the reflectors of his glory. Not just for friendship and fellowship with God, but to reflect the glory of God. That's what the purpose was. And that first command to Adam and Eve was what? To be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Just with a bunch of kids? No, no. Fill the earth with what? The image and the likeness of God. This is just, you know, Bible 101. To fill the earth with his glory, that's God's passion. But through Adam's sin, all creation just got off the rails. All creation. Fallen into disorder. That's why Scripture tells us so clearly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fallen short of his original purpose to reveal his glory through us. That people would look at us and see the glory. No, they were lost. And then we come to Israel quickly here. Israel. Why did he create Israel? Why did God raise up Israel? We see here, he wants the whole earth to be filled with his glory, but he says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Why did he raise up Israel? When you get to the Old Testament, so many places and so many faces, you know, we got to remember it's not about Abraham. It's about Abraham's part in God's story. It's not the story of Moses. It's Moses' role in the story of God, the glory story. It's all about him. It's all about him. Why did he raise up Israel? God's ancient people. So much of the book is about this ancient nation, God's ancient people. What was that all about? You know, dear friends, it comes alive when we realize that that nation was raised up to reveal, to proclaim, and to show forth his great glory. Israel was created as a vessel for glory, a vehicle of revelation to reveal the great and glorious God. The Old Testament is so flowing over with accounts of God's faithful provision for this people. His awesome power and gracious, unfailing intervention for all their in all their history on their behalf. But what was it about? You get to the minor prophets back here, and it becomes a very sad story of unbelief, of spiritual idolatry, disobedience, unfaithfulness. Dear friends, in spite of all that, God continued to show forth his glory. John Piper says that no text in the Bible reveals the passion for God's for his own glory more clearly and more bluntly as this, okay? That, here it is, Isaiah 48, I put it up here. Look at this, this is amazing. I highlighted the emphasis so that we could see it. Look what God says about Israel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger in the face of all your unfaithfulness and idolatry. For my name's sake, for the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. He could have done that many times. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, it's emphasized, I do it. How shall my name, my glorious name, be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. So this text hammers home, as Piper says here, the centrality of God's own affections. God is into God. What else would he be in? What else is greater than God that he could be into? God is all about his own glory. You know, and a young buck over there in Germany says, oh, well, he must be an egotistical God. You know, he's all in wanting the glory for himself. I said, young man, you know, if God doesn't reveal and unveil and show forth the glory of his love, the glory of his grace, the glory of his mercy, we're done. It's all about God revealing his glory, dear friends. And he actually said, he chose this nation for his glory. You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. You are going to be a people, a name, a praise, and a glory for me. Wow, that churns the whole Old Testament and makes it alive when we realize what God was doing. But we know what happened. Sin came. Sin came, the iniquities have separated us from God. And he wants us to see and savor the glory of God, to taste and see, to see that light of the glorious gospel. That's why Christ came. We'll finish here. That's why he came. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Great Christmas verse we bring out all the time. And he is the glory, the very express image of his glory. And when he went to the cross, dear friends, before he went to the cross, there in John 17, it's recorded for us, he says, I have glorified you on earth, Father. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I trust we can do that. I can say that when my life is over. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And that was all about God's glory. Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. When he went to the cross, and you know what? He died for our sins there, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again, according to the scriptures. You know, all to show us the glory of the cross and the glory of the resurrection. And there on that cross, dear friends, this is a great place to end this message. The passion of New Tribes Mission, the passion that should be of all of ours. That on that cross, the holiness and righteousness and wrath of God was met and kissed by the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Their love and the mercy and the grace of God. Just that burst of the glory of God there on that cross. That glorious exchange, dear friends, where your sin and my sin was placed on Christ, was placed on Jesus Christ, and he took our sin upon himself. But he gave us his righteousness. He gave us his righteousness, that wonderful exchange. And that's why he saved us, dear friends, to reflect that glory. For his own name's sake. That's why he forgave our sins. That's why he saved us. He wants us to show forth that glory. We'll pick this up in Sunday school this morning for those that are going to be there. He wants to, and we sang about it. I love that song there that we were beginning with there this morning. He lives, that same power of the resurrection lives in us. Lives in us. We have this treasure, this glory in these earthen vessels, these clay pots of ours. Why? So the excellency of power may not be of us, but of him. That people might see the glory. That people might see Christ in you and Christ in me. That's what it's all about. That's what people need to hear. The glory of the gospel. That he died to deliver us from the penalty of sin, past tense. But he rose again to live in you and I, to live in our hearts, to live this Christian life through us. I told a couple young girls at a restaurant the other day, quit trying to live the Christian life and just let Christ live it through you. Oh, big surprise. It really is that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. Our Father, we're just so grateful for being able to be together with these dear folks and for their faithfulness to us and all their missionary family over so many years. Thank you that this is a praying church, Lord, an interceding church. Preaching to the choir here this morning, Father, this is a mission-minded church, and we thank you for it. Thank you for being able to be here today, being part of their missionary family, and just to see what you're doing here in this place for your namesake and your glory. May you continue to just magnify your name here. Thank you for the faithful ministry of your word, our dear pastor and his wife and the leadership here, Lord. Just continue to use them and all of us here to spread your glory throughout this valley and even unto the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.